travel, we get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website or on Facebook or Twitter. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by my friends and fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy, Donna, Laura, and Elizabeth. Recently, Elizabeth and her daughter, Athena, experienced national parks in Arizona and Utah, and they did it without camping.
Woohoo!
In fact, they went on their trip with one of our very favorite travel providers, Adventures by Disney. Tonight, we want to talk to Elizabeth about why she chose to see the parks this way and why you should too. So let's get started.
I mean, I'm already sold on
camping. Yeah, not camping is like the main reason. So just as a refresher on what Adventures by Disney is, because we've talked about them several times in several previous episodes, but they're a high-end escorted tour company. Groups of 45 or fewer, usually fewer.
With Mickey Mouse.
Just no, Mickey does not come on the trip with you. Does not come on
the
trip with you.
Don't perpetuate the myth.
I just had to put it out there so we could debunk it.
No, Mickey Mouse. Mickey will make an appearance in sometimes in references and things like that, but he will not actually physically make an appearance. I've been on two Adventures by Disney. I've not yet seen Mickey Mouse.
That's one of the biggest misconceptions is that, you know, you're just gonna, it's gonna be Disney characters everywhere and everything's gonna be Disney-fied and I want to experience the world and have this authentic experience. You didn't experience that in either of your Adventures by Disney trips.
Correct. And you need to sort of flip the part of Disney that we're really focusing on is the customer service side.
And the storytelling.
Right. So you think about the parks and the, you know, we're gonna ride Pirates of the Caribbean, we're gonna go, you know, ride Everest and scream our heads off and we're gonna watch fireworks. No, it's about the customer service side of that. So we're going to stay at the Boardwalk. We're going to stay at Contemporary. We're going to stay at the Polynesian. We're going to be immersed in a story. We're going to have excellent customer service. So I don't want to say every whim catered to, because that's kind of a overreaching promise. But your needs will be seen to for sure. And I definitely had problems along the way on this trip, which I didn't even put in the bullet points because I totally forgot about them by the time. But we can certainly talk about them and how Disney handled them. So it's definitely the idea is this is a high-end experience where you will not have to worry about anything. And honestly, that is the reason I took it, because I don't do national parks. I'm not as awesome as you guys. And honestly, all of you, except for Lindsay and I, are like, not camping. But the rest of you, Donna and Laura and Sandy, you're all like, national parks, woo, this is great. And I agree, they're great, but they're not easily accessed. It's hard to plan those trips. It's hard to get those locations right up there unless you want to be in a tent, which I do not. or if you want to hike miles and miles, which I do not.
You don't want to take your machete and go bushwhacking?
Nope.
Dig your latrine.
Tie your food up in a tree with a bear with box. A nope sandwich with a side of nope sauce.
Yes. I'm with you on that.
None of that. The national parks are important.
To drive to the hotel.
Yeah. The national parks are important to see. And my daughter is a little bit more adventurous and outdoorsy, and that, you know, she wanted to do something like that. So this is a great solution. And there were other people on the trip. There was someone on the trip who is a major anchor for ESPN. Very nice person, really great lady. And she's like, you know, I can't plan my trips a year and a half in advance so that I can be on the phone at 366 days or whatever to 364 days to make my reservations. I was thinking about this trip 3 months ago. And so that sort of changes how you, do the national parks. You can't, if you're not planning a year or so in advance, you're going to have to go with some sort of tour operator who will take care of
that. To have that access. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that's really important for newbies like myself who do not frequent national parks to know that it is, you know, you think, well, it's a tent in the woods. I need a reservation a year in advance.
Yeah. There are lodges, and they're not, they're not 5-star Fairmont hotels, but they are there, and they're a room that isn't a tent that has a lock on the door and a window and air conditioning. Yeah. And should be bug free. And those do, you have to book, they don't book like a classic hotel where you just call them up and make a reservation. It's done very differently.
Yeah. So tell us where you went.
So the trip starts in Sedona, which really means you fly into Phoenix, or you get to Phoenix somehow. And then from Phoenix, Disney transfers you the 2 hours to Sedona, which is actually a big plus. If you want to go to Sedona, and who doesn't want to go to Sedona? Everybody's heard of it. It's a wonderful place to go. You got to get yourself there, and it's 2 hours from the airport, and it transfers. We looked into all kinds of things, and as it turned out, my flight was canceled. So we had to be transferred another way, and a private car transfer was $315. So we're not talking about an easy, you know.
And you didn't want to drive a car because then you didn't need it.
Right. And I could have. In this case, I was filing insurance. So I'm like, sure, a private car sounds great. It'll be late at night. And you know, I want to do that. There are shared shuttles and things like that that can do it. But Disney actually takes you up to Sedona with storytelling along the way. They tell you a lot of stuff that is good for you to know, because the next day they ask you all these trivia questions to give out prizes. And if you weren't there the first day, you miss all of them and you don't know any of the answers. Not that I know this from experience. And then you also,
bigger trivia.
They're like, oh, you didn't miss anything. And then they're asking all these trivia questions. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then they stop in Sedona, and they do a little tour of Sedona. And so they break up that 2 hour drive, and make it a little bit more interesting. So you start with Sedona, and you're there for 2 nights at the beautiful Enchantment Resort, which is arguably one of the best resorts you'll stay at in the whole trip. It's, definitely it's old school. High end spa, no children allowed in the spa, Lindsay. You have to be 16 or older to go into the spa. They have a really cool pool with little portholes in it. So we have some great photos of Athena and I, like, in the porthole underwater, because you can take pictures from the other side. Then we went on to the Grand Canyon from there, stopping at Barrizona, which is in Williams, Arizona. And Williams is the very last town to have been bypassed by Route 66.
Did you say Barrizona?
Barrizona.
Mm-hmm. Is that like bears, or is it like...
It's like bears. Oh, so yeah, it's not, like not no a nudist camp. Yeah, no, no.
I was waiting for Sandy to ask.
Yeah. It's a rehabilitation.
It's a Family Adventures by Disney tour.
Clearly. He said no kids in the spa.
Yeah, well, we moved on. And Barrizona does, like, they treat us like VIPs. So they do a bus tour where they have bison, and they have... they actually have cats. You actually have lunch next to the jaguar cage. Ooh. And I'm not kidding you. This jaguar is right up in your face. It's amazing. Amazing. I've never been that close to a big cat like that. Wow. And it was actually funny, because they open. So they bring us over this place where they feed the jaguar while you're there. You are there during feeding time, and it's just our group. It's just Adventures by Disney, the Paddle of Power. So they put you in front of this big door that looks like, literally, when they open it up, the jaguar is just going to be able to come out. But when they open it up, there's actually a cage there. There's like glass and wire. But Athena walked right up to the door. She's like, I don't see anything. And then the jaguar came around the corner. She's like, ah! Because it's this huge cat, and she couldn't see him at all. Yeah, he was like, boo. But then the containment area actually is two or three levels, really. And so there's a second floor to the dining area. There's like a cafe kind of thing there, with beer on tap. And they take you up to the top level, and that's only Adventures by Disney. There's a buffet lunch, and the jaguar actually comes up and can walk, like, literally right beside you while you're eating. And does. You want to share that? They feed him frozen chickens. Sorry for my vegetarians in the group, but they chuck these frozen chickens at him, and he just...
Jaguars aren't vegetarians.
Yes, exactly. So that was very cool. And then you go into Williams for a few minutes, and you basically see... I know Laura is very familiar with the Grand Canyon Railway. Starts there in Williams. Mm-hmm. There is a brewery there called... Oh, gosh. Shoot. I knew I would forget. And Athena was so cute. She was like, I want to go to all these shops, but I know you want to go to the brewery. And we did not go to the brewery. We went to the shops. I really did want to go. But then I did have some beer from there. There were a couple other places. And so we talked a little bit about Route 66, and it's probably the most Route 66 memorabilia there that you'll find. Definitely a throwback to that era. And then you continue on to the Grand Canyon. We stayed two nights at the Grand Canyon at the Thunderbird Lodge. And we can talk about some of these in detail right on the rim. And actually, it is not the nicest hotel there in the three Grand Canyon lodges on that rim, but the nicest one does not have family friendly rooms. It's all sleeps two. So so they put you in the other one. And then we went to Monument Valley for one night. And actually, it was a shame that it was only one night because we stayed at Goulding's Lodge there, which there's a hotel part that looks like a classic hotel, but they built these little cabins. It's a brand new thing. Adventures by Disney didn't used to stop in Monument Valley. They just did this long drive the whole way through because there was nowhere really to stay.
Yeah.
But now that they have these cabins, and we lucked out. Athena and I got a cabin right at the front. Nobody in front of us. Unobstructed view of Monument Valley. It was amazing.
Does it look like Soarin'?
It looks exactly like... Actually, yeah, so I just went to Disney and we're on... And I was like, oh, that's the left mitten. So I actually know which... so it definitely brought some memories up. And then... So you're only there one night. Then we went to... Moab and Arches National Park. And we stay there for two nights at the Red Rocks Lodge, which is a former ranch. And, you know, I looked around this property. I'm like, can you imagine just having a ranch on this beautiful piece of land right next to the Colorado River?
Yeah.
Just, I can't even imagine. He eventually converted it into a resort because he wanted other people to be able to see it. I mean, to think that somebody just like owned this piece of land and woke up every day and looked at this amazing landscape every single day. And it was all his, and he just drove cattle and, you know, and lived that life. And, that was also a very nice lodge. And that's where we concluded our trip. So it went through Arizona and then up to Utah.
So is it three national parks?
Technically, yes, it is. Because Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, and Arches, yes, three.
So which was your favorite?
They were all really hot. So I've been to the Grand Canyon. It was August. It was really hot. I've been to the Grand Canyon before.
But it's a dry heat. It's not like it is here.
And again, 2 weeks later, I was at Walt Disney World. And 2 weeks before that, I was at Walt Disney World. And it was hotter in Florida, I will assure you. I was much more miserable in Florida. I was not really miserable in any of these places, but it was hot. I've been to the Grand Canyon before. While we were there, and there may still be, actually I haven't checked, wildfires burning on the North Rim. And so when we first arrived, that first moment where I was imagining Athena just being like, wow, this is amazing. It wasn't. Smoking. Yeah, you really couldn't see very much.
And she was back.
Like, this is so lame. I'm like, I normally would like scold you for saying that, but you're kind of right.
We just talked about this on our 200th episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were talking about the...
Yeah. It was a life-changing moment for me to see it. Yeah.
And then you were talking about your little crappy attitude was it the forum? And I was like, oh, no, I can see Athena doing that.
She didn't put her headphones with the, like, Walkman stuff off, did she?
She did a little bit, but not there. But she... And honestly, I gotta say, she was right. It was pretty lame. I mean, you know, it was very disappointing as somebody who's seen it before in all its
grandeur. You just never know. I mean...
Yes, exactly. And of course, you know, the fires are not... It's serious business. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's nothing to be.
It was like this.
This was at the Grand Canyon that she said it, or at Monument Valley.
This was at the Grand Canyon. Now Monument Valley, yeah. I think she was impressed. It was hard not to be impressed there. It's this big, big,
it
big
really
rocks.
Is.
Yeah, it's really hard not to be impressed there. But it's hard not to be impressed with the Grand Canyon either. But when it's obfuscated like that, we didn't get to see all the colors, at least not initially. We did, you know, the smoke cleared a little bit the next day, and it was pretty good. And honestly, we've been weather charmed on a lot of our trips. When we were at Arenal in Costa Rica, we had a clear view of the volcano. I had a clear view of Denali. When we were in Ireland, Lindsay, we had these great views, that, you know, the next day they were like, yeah, people who were on the, these roads the next day couldn't see it right in front of their faces.
Yeah,
so
we had the best luck with weather on that trip. That was the most unusually sunny.
So I take it with a grain of salt. I'm like, okay, so So, we had a smoky visit.
You said it's really hot. Is this the only, is summer their season, or can you
get summer is more? Their season. You can go a little bit later, but summer is their season. I know some of their other ships, they have a winter in Wyoming one, so you can, but then it's just really cold.
Yeah, I bet Laura would love that one, though.
So it's like either really hot or really cold. But, you know, the bus is air conditioned. They make sure your rooms are air conditioned. They are very good. One of the things Disney does so well is what I call flow. And I don't think I'm the only one who calls it that. I think that's an industry term on how things move along in your trip. Mm-hmm. And the flow with Adventures by Disney is always super well thought out. We try not to stand the bus for longer than an hour and a half at a time. When we do, we definitely show a movie. And we definitely play, like, there was one long stretch. I think we had a 3-hour drive at one point. And not only did we see a movie, but we also had trivia. Which I lost because I didn't know any of it. Actually, they asked one of these Disney trivia questions that I've had before that I've lost, and I will never forget it now. What are Donald Duck's niece's names?
You asked this before.
I know, and I forgot it. Now do you know it?
No, I don't remember.
Does anybody know it? Okay, well, I'm not going to tell you because then you'll win trivia.
Google.
It's April, May, June.
And yeah, I was just going to say it's months. But...
Yes, it is. And I totally got it. Anyway.
So the April, May, June, Huey, Dewey, Louie?
April, May, June are the nieces. Huey, Dewey, and Louie are the nephews.
I knew that one.
You touched on, like, the flow of the trip and how it was a bit different. Let's kind of delve a little deeper into what the Disney difference is for anybody who listens to this that might not be as enamored and already in love with Adventures by Disney as we are. What are some of the reasons? Because there's a lot of ways to experience the national parks. Mm-hmm. What are some of the reasons why this is the way to do it?
So the first thing is they take care of everything. And this is not only related to the national parks, any Adventures by Disney trip. And most escorted tours will take care of everything, but Disney not only takes care of everything, but they take care of it to the max. So you're going to be in excellent hotels along the way, the best that they can do. Again, when you're at the Grand Canyon, those hotels are old. They have a lot of history. They're not, you know, up to date, you know, fantastic, modern structures, but they're functional.
The
yeah. And they have a great view, and the location, you're right on the rim. Mm-hmm. You can't do that easily just yourself. It takes a lot of work, planning and getting up on the right day of the week to make the call and being the right place in line and all that. They take care of all of that. When they don't feed you, they have suggestions at the ready for you, including making reservations. So I actually was not present when they made the reservations for one night. So they made that first night I wasn't there. So you could make your request for where you wanted reservations that night. They made a holding reservation for me just in case, which I ended up taking because I didn't know where else to eat. So, you know, they basically said, we're going to make this reservation. So they thought of that and they were like, if you don't want it, we'll cancel it. No problem. So they did that without me asking or anything like that. And that's just, and I mean, that's one thing. We had somebody there with a gluten-free, she was celiac, totally celiac, not preference for not gluten, but definitely celiac, highly allergic. And her mom had this tester. Everything that they brought out for her that was gluten-free was truly gluten-free. Everything tested smiley face. She was able to eat it, including dark chocolate brownies. And like they had all kinds of great food for, and this child was 9 years old. So, you know, this was important that she liked the food. Dinners were where we could see that. We actually had dinner in Monument Valley in the middle of the monuments with Native American performers there with us, chatting with us, not just performing for us a long way away, but like chatting with us, interacting with us, around a campfire.
Is that where you did the theme about the fry bread? And the stuff on top of the fry bread?
Yes, that was where we had the Navajo tacos is what they call it. Yeah, the fry bread. With
I've never had authentic, but I've had them before in there.
Yeah, and I'd never had it at all. I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah,
but
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's just basically, I don't know, it's like a funnel cake, but not sweet. It's you know, they make it the same way. They fry it. So it's literally fried bread, like dough but it sits like a tostada basically open, and they put chili and whatever you want on it. And Yeah, it was fantastic. And it was a cookout in the, literally, in the, there's no way you would have gotten here. It was private land owned by Goulding's Lodge. And they drove us out there on with like 4x4 trucks and deposited us. So there's like, if I had wanted to leave, I couldn't have. There's, I would have died in the desert.
So the jaguars were circling.
Yeah, the jaguars were circling. But with, you know, performers and a campfire, and all of it was done. We didn't have to build the campfire. There were benches around the campfire. Mm-hmm. So all the great things about a campfire, except for having to
you
do any
to
of
do
the work. Yourself. Yeah, exactly. Nice. So, and honestly, an experience like you can, you would not be able to have. We have two guides on every trip. We only had 30 people on our trip. That maxes out at 45. So with 30 people, we had one guide for every 15 people. So they really got to know us very, very well.
I would imagine that this was an interesting one because, you know, normally the guides are the Adventures by Disney guide and then the local host. But, you know, your local host would be, I don't know, are they, were they...
She's from Arizona.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Arizona? Oh, yeah, I feel like people from Arizona. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but she really knows Arizona as well. And incidentally, it was sort of weird because ours were, the Arizona person is actually probably worked for Disney the longest. She's worked on Disney Cruise Line. She's worked in the parks. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other one was, he's former Navy. And he was an actor before that, union actor, and he now is a tour guide in Seattle. When he's not, when he's not working for Disney on the season. So,
how do you get the gig as the Disney guy? Because
they actually told us about it. They like to refer each other. You know, they like to get people. It's an audition process. Like it goes from 4,000 to something like 400, and then they call. They end up calling 20. I think he said 20 or 40, maybe to Florida, and 20 or 40 to Los Angeles, and they audition. Wow. Like they get on a stage and they don't have to sing and dance necessarily, but they show, you know, they speak and they like, they do spiels and get asked questions, and Disney basically looks at their personalities.
I can remember when the so-called, the casting call went out for Adventures by Disney Guides, and they had like a website dedicated or a webpage landing dedicated to what a career with Adventures by Disney would entail. I don't know if they still have it out there. But
if you're interested, they always do it every year from the first 2 weeks of August. Okay. Open casting. Yep. So while we were traveling, it was actually open. So he was telling us about it. He's like, if you're interested, let me know. And you know, and he said that somebody who already was an adventure guide helped him get his job, gave him advice and everything. So he wants to return that favor.
Nice.
So yeah, awesome. He's always looking.
You tell him we're putting in Marcus's name.
I actually, that's exactly what I told him. Yeah. I said, in about 10 years, I got somebody for you. So, and of course, Athena rolled her eyes. And another thing is about the hotels that you stay in. Even if you're not in the nicest hotel, the room locations, Disney always gets the best locations. So unobstructed views. And now this is my second trip and I can still attest to this. We got very lucky to be at the very front in Monument Valley. Other people were a little bit further back, but you do have, I mean, we were definitely in the best row of cabins without a doubt. We happened to get the front of that row. That was just luck, but everywhere else, I mean, there might be a road in between, but with the Thunderbird Lodge, we were on the canyon side looking at the canyon. So you definitely as much as possible. And then they are very good at making sure that if you're a larger family, you get adjoining rooms whenever it's available, side by side rooms. If connecting isn't available, you get adjoining, which is side by side. So all of those little details that are hard to take care of, and they'll just hand you your key and you just go, you don't have to check in. They've done all that and you just go open up your door.
I remember when our business development manager, Freddie, did the China one. He had this picture of the adventure guide with all the luggage. And it was like this cart stacked up to the ceiling. You know, he's like, and then it just magically appears in our room.
Yep.
God.
It absolutely does. And that's actually on the last night, Troy, our guide, was like, and remember, you have to pick up your own luggage. When you get home, you need to get your own luggage. So
it's kind of like Sandy and Elizabeth said on a podcast we did before about coming home from a cruise. It's like, you know, their room steward was not the same. And then you get home and you're like, what do you mean I've got to take my own luggage in the house?
Yeah. my husband was totally done with me.
Yeah, well, you can imagine after Adventures by Disney, he would totally be done with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He would really get
So those are the main differences. And then there's lots of surprises along the way. And I'll just say one because I don't like to give away surprises, but there was one that I actually posted on my Facebook page. So I'll just put it out there. So you're leaving Monument Valley and I didn't even think about this, but I'm also not huge on movie pop culture and locations, but when you're in Monument Valley, they talk about all the things that were filmed there, all the John Wayne movies, all the like Back to the Future, all of that. They don't mention at all Forrest Gump until you're leaving. Mm-hmm. And then as you're driving away, they're like, okay, so they pull this costume out and they pick somebody on the bus to be Forrest and they give him this big beard and the hat and the parka. And they stop the bus. And incidentally, this place is, there's a mile marker there. There's like lots of people stop there, but they basically watch traffic, which incidentally in Monument Valley is super easy because there's nothing. I mean, it's flat.
Yeah.
So they watch traffic and they put you out in the middle of the street and take your picture running with Forrest Gump. So they did this big picture as if he had stopped and we all stopped and we're waiting for the words of wisdom. We were all running. And then they did individual pictures and it's so funny because they said, this will be your Christmas card. And as soon as I posted it on Facebook, people were like, that should be your Christmas card. I'm like, but it's only the two of us in it. I got a family of four here.
Well, but the other two will have to do something.
Yes, exactly. Or we'll Photoshop them in or something. Yeah. So you actually...
The boys can take a picture on the bench with a box of chocolate.
There you go. Go down to Savannah.
They come on the bench.
Can you see me talking Chris into that one? That'd be great.
Or eating a bunch of shrimp.
Marcus would be all about it. I'm not sure about Chris. But it was great. And the guy who played Forrest on our group, he was a great sport. And, you know, he ended up being in everybody's picture. And you can't tell it's him. You know, for all you know, it's some guy that's standing there at Monument Valley. Which, incidentally, there was nobody there dressed as Forrest Gump just waiting for people to take pictures with him. I'm like, somebody could make a lot
that's
of money.
So, like, Hollywood Boulevard.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of way out there to be.
Yeah. But we had no idea. We had no idea that was going to happen. And we really weren't even that far. You know, you're not that far out away from the hotel when they stop. So, you're not expecting a stop right there. Mm-hmm. But, it was great. It was fantastic. So.
That's awesome. So, what I don't think people think so much of a guided tour when they think of doing like national parks or even anything in our country, you know, like in mm-hmm. America. So can you talk about some other things you can do with Adventures by Disney?
Yeah. So, well, actually there's several national parks. The one that I thought of immediately was Alaska with Denali. They have a land tour. And there's lots of people who do land tours out there, but Disney definitely does it as, you know, high end as they can. There's a Wyoming one, which does Yellowstone and the Grand Teton National Park. And then there's a Montana one that really just does Yellowstone, and that even has glamping. So when I was looking for this trip with Athena, we were clicking through the different national parks options, and we got to the Montana one. And the lead-in picture is this glamping tent, which is a tent with a platform. And it's like, best glamping you'll ever experience. And Athena looked at me. She was like, you're not going to do that, are you? I was like, nope. Even with Adventures by Disney, I have to take some more.
Even
with Adventures by Disney.
Well, and there's one of them that does a Dude Ranch, too. I believe it's in Wyoming.
I think it's the Wyoming one that does, yes. And they all have some, like both of those have a make your own geyser thing. So they have a little science, thing with the Old Faithful. And the Yellowstone ones are very, very popular, and the same deal with those Yellowstone is hard to book, mm-hmm. Inside the park. You know, it really is hard to book on your own.
And another thing people don't realize about those parks is you have to drive a long way to get inside the park.
Yes.
You know, so you don't necessarily want to go back and forth.
Yes.
Which is why you camp.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, it's about a 2.5-hour drive from Bozeman to get to Yellowstone.
Yeah. And I think it's the Montana one that actually goes in and out of Bozeman. I will say this one was... Like, we flew into Phoenix and then drove 2 hours, and then we were supposed to fly out of Grand Junction. I had flight issues, so I had to fly out of Montrose, which is 3 hours. But, so basically 2 hours on either end. You're literally in the middle of nowhere, USA.
Yes.
So at least, but yeah, I think these parks, I mean, they're definitely out there. And Denali is the same way. You can't really stay in Denali. You can stay just outside of Denali. Mm-hmm. But staying inside the park isn't really possible, but they put you as close as possible to it. And then another one that most people don't think of is Philadelphia and DC, which is a really great way to take the kids to see sort of that historical America, and yeah. they go to Gettysburg, which is a national park, See, and that, then the national monument.
That feels like so much in our backyard, you know, that I don't even.
Well, for you, yes, because we live in North Carolina.
Well, I might not maybe not live for in Lindsay.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
And then, and then there is the. Go ahead, Lindsay.
I lived out in New Jersey for a year. Like I lived out there, so.
But even though was, you know. I haven't been since my kids were really little. They don't remember it.
Right. And again, that getting around thing, parking in D.C. And the hotels that you stay at in D.C., it's nice. They're nice. Yeah. They're very nice.
I would be more interested in the Canadian Rockies.
I put the Canadian Rockies on our list as a bonus because it's not obviously U.S. national parks, mm-hmm. except maybe to Sandy, who doesn't know anything about Canada. But
you just know that not many people live there.
But you go to Banff and Calgary and Lake Louise. So obviously, I mean, definitely parks, definitely nature, absolutely worth seeing. And there were several people on my trip, Lindsay, who were like, that's what's next for us. We really want to do this next.
Yeah. And see, I would really be interested in the one to New York. You get to go behind the scenes mm-hmm. of The Lion King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get to actually go on Broadway and meet some of the costuming people and all. That just sounds really cool to me.
Yeah. And I did
it in a dancing class.
Yes. You that's get to learn a
isn't
dance.
That one like a kind
that's
of mini
a mini
one?
I didn't include any of the minis because actually as I looked none of them went to national parks so the Philadelphia and DC one is a 1 week trip. It's actually pretty, you start in DC and end in DC, and in the middle you go out to Gettysburg. That's but you'll cool. you go to Mount Vernon, you know, it's definitely
the Potomac, right?
I bet you do. I didn't look.
I think you
totally
do some kind
detail.
Of like rafting.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually it's a really cool trip.
Probably but, like mountain. If you do Mount Vernon, you probably do. Like
yeah. When you do these things, it's the thing is planning. Let's take DC for example because it is in our backyard. If you look at the itinerary and all you get into that itinerary, that would be exhausting if you were doing it just you, Sandy, mom, trying to drag your kids to all these things. Mm-hmm. And then Disney also tries to make it more interesting by making the history alive a little bit. So they'll either bring it in a reenactor or whatever. And that's just hard for you to arrange on your own.
Yeah.
They really focus on the hands-on like stuff that you can do.
Yeah. Cause you might happen to walk up on a ranger talk or something, but, cause the National Mall is a national park.
Mm-hmm.
And we happened to walk up when one of the rangers was talking about the Vietnam Memorial. They made me cry. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But we just got lucky, you know, we just happened to walk up when that talk was starting. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I think it adds so much to your trip.
Yep. And in Arizona, you do a park ranger gets on the bus and goes with you talks about it. So and who they get is
did they talk about the Brady Bunch episode?
No.
Where Bobby and Cindy got lost?
Nope. But I will say, our bartender at the dinner that we had at the sunset dinner we had on the rim. Is a rim to rim runner, which is a concept that I think is insane. People actually do this for fun and kicks.
Why are you telling Sandy this?
Sandy should never do this.
No, I'm over this.
This is how people die. So he runs down the rim and up the rim, and he does it. So you can do down the rim, across, and up the rim, which is really a true rim to rim. There's rim to rim, and then there's rim to rim to rim. But he actually just runs down and up. Daily, 2 hours or so.
Wow.
It's crazy stupid. And, you know, the air is really thin. That's 7,000 feet. You start at 7,000 feet. So you don't get a lot of oxygen.
So if he's listening, she's not saying you're crazy stupid.
Thank you for clarifying that.
First of all, he's not listening. And second of all, if he is listening, I will also mention the fact that he has zero body fat.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's in great shape. He's crazy amazing.
Crazy amazing.
You don't see the meaning behind it because it's not something that energizes you.
And here's the best part. This was Athena's takeaway because my daughter is a bit of an athlete, but we have trouble fueling her. She won't eat the right foods and things. So I said, so how do you, you know, because first of all, we're in a desert. So how do you drink water? You know, there's some water sources on the way down, but, and then how do you get back up? You know, you just run down this thing and it's a mile down, a mile back up. But then again, the elevation, he's like, I get to the bottom, I eat a Pop-Tart and I come back up. And
no,
I was like,
oh no.
Pop-Tarts are healthy?
You're like, I should have Pop-Tarts.
Like, if you're exercising at that level, you could pretty much eat whatever you want.
That's what I told her.
Yes, but when you're doing endurance stuff, Athena doesn't have much, like, meat, you know?
Right.
She needs, like, those, really
Don't know. You're preaching to the choir. She's upstairs in bed. I just want to tell you, her takeaway from that whole thing.
I've taken pictures of things in my kitchen to send to you because I'm like, this has lots of protein. My trainer recommends this.
Her whole takeaway was Pop-Tarts are good for you. So, you know, and that was along the way, there were many.
She's not wrong.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it would give you some energy to get. I don't know. I guess how fast you are depends on how.
Well, and he said it.
Were you someplace that gave you Pop-Tarts as your snacks? And we all sort of chiming in about frosted strawberries and brown sugars. And
yes.
It generated more talk on your Facebook page than I've seen in a long time.
Yes. So in Monument Valley, the cabins that they gave us had full kitchens. So Mickey dropped off a bag of goodies for us that had microwave popcorn, Pop-Tarts, and bottles of water in it. That's another surprise that I just
gave away. Pop-Tarts? Imagine that.
Yeah, they gave away Pop-Tarts. The funny thing is, it was strawberry. So some of them are strawberry, and some of them are brown sugar cinnamon, apparently, because we talked to one of our guides to find out. But of course, Pop-Tarts, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but they never label them on the outside. You have to open them to find out. If you've taken them out and they're just in the foil wrappers, it's not labeled on the outside. So we didn't know what we had. Athena hates strawberry Pop-Tarts, but she loves brown sugar Pop-Tarts. Guess what we got?
Strawberry.
Two strawberries. Aww. So she was very sad. I, on the other hand, was very happy.
I will take care of these.
There are two camps. It's like the mayonnaise and the mayo versus mayo people. And there are two camps with Pop-Tarts. You either like the fruit, people like the fruity ones, or they don't.
Yeah,
I just don't like them.
I like the pretty ones. She'll eat the wild berry ones, but why are we talking about this? This is a podcast about adventure.
She'll eat raw berries. She won't eat strawberry.
Yeah, I don't know. She's crazy.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, you've been talking about what the great thing, you know, about how they're able to get you into places that you couldn't get into. And after putting together a couple of trips to the Canadian Rockies, I want to tell you that Calgary and Lake Louise and Banff, especially during the summer, are very difficult to get into. And so that's another great thing is you know, that Disney has access and has already at the ready some of these great locations all sealed up at a time of year when it's very difficult to get in and to get these experiences.
Yes. And I will point out in Canada, you were staying at Fairmont Properties. So it's not the cheapest properties in Banff. It's definitely not the cheapest, but they are beautiful resorts. Beautiful resorts. All three of the ones in the
Everything you're saying is sounding more and more like...
like not camping, Lindsay.
not camping, like my kind of trip.
it really, I mean, honestly, and again, I'm so busy planning other people's trips that it's really hard for me to plan my own. And I didn't want to let her down.
Yeah.
And so being able to provide her, she went horseback riding in Utah. We actually went rafting on the Colorado River, which is a bucket list for me. Unfortunately, the Colorado River is very low right now because it's hot and they haven't gotten a lot of rain. But we rafted basically right by where Thelma and Louise went into the water. So they were like, yeah, we pulled the car out. It was kind of awesome. So the rafting was like class one rapids. There was one level two rapid class two, but the rest were one. And so Athena was a little bit bummed about that, but then the guides really made it fun. They played all kinds of games with the rafts. So they had balance games and trust games and all this on the raft. So even though we weren't, you know, bouncing over white water as much as we would have liked to have been, she had a great time. And she was upset that it wasn't going to be a wild ride, but she had a great time out on the river. So
how did it compare to the Costa Rica rafting?
Well, the Costa Rica rafting, we almost died.
Oh.
So that was actually, so in that case, the water level was low, but there were a lot of rocks in that river that, so we actually got hung up on a rock and ended up capsizing. We were really not in any danger of that on this river. This was a much tamer ride. I do think the one in Costa Rica should have been just as tame. But it just wasn't because of the water levels. And, there were four of us in that raft, and Chris and I are not small people. There were four of us in a raft that probably should have only had two at that water level.
Oh,
And again, that's not me. That's me as an expert. I don't think Disney put us in any danger. It was one of those things. And we're very experienced swimmers, so there was really never any true danger. In Colorado, those rafts were much larger, solid rafts. We had six people in our raft, another family of four, and then us, and then the guide. The guide had to row the whole time. It was great too, because one of the kids in our raft is a rower. That's his sport. And so he rode for her part of the way, which was great.
Nice.
He was thrilled to be able to get into a boat and row.
Were there other kids Athena's age?
Yes, it was mostly teenagers on this trip. So the youngest was 9, the girl with celiac. The oldest was probably, well, there were some college age kids. I don't really count them. They sort of hung separately. So I would say 16. The rower was 15, I think. And he and Athena hung out a bit. And he had a younger brother who was Marcus's age. He and Marcus would have been thick as thieves. They were, they're very similar. But he wasn't there with us. So,
But that's another great thing with Adventures by Disney is if you, tell your travel agent that you'd really love, you know, to have your kids, have some contemporaries on the trip when they are, investigating the trip for you, they can ask those kind of questions for you. And the folks at Disney can tell them, well, we have this many kids signed up already, and these are their ages.
Yep.
And or they could say, you know, if there's any way they could go 2 weeks earlier, we've got a lot of kids in the 13 to 15 age range on that trip. So that's a really nice, another, that's so rare to find with any kind of tour group who's willing to kind of disclose that and really help facilitate that interaction. But Disney really cares about building that into a trip.
Yep. And they'll not only tell you ages, but they'll tell you the genders as well. So you'll know if it's really boy heavy, really girl heavy. You'll get a great idea. And it turned everybody on that trip, they were just so compatible. So.
And it's such a simple thing to do, to make sure that everyone is going to have the trip that they want, to make sure that the kids are going to enjoy themselves. And I don't think, like you said, you mentioned that, Laura, I don't think there's any other tour company off the top of my head that I can think of that would give us access to that information.
Yeah, they're not nearly as transparent. I would agree with you. And for us, we were tied to a week. So there was only one itinerary that we could do. So when I asked the question of who's going, it was more for information so I could prepare her. It turned out to be ideal, but had it not, had it been all 6-year-olds, I would have been like, hey, Athena, by the way, you and I are going to be hanging out a lot because it's a bunch of 6-year-olds. You're going to be way older than anybody else.
Oh, no.
So in this case, it worked out ideally. But in the case, if, like Laura said, if you have 2 or 3 week range where you can go, they can sort of match you. Now, of course, that can change because when I signed up for this trip, there were only 20 people signed up to go. We ended up having 30 people on the trip. So the dynamic can change, but it probably won't change that much unless you're the first family to sign up for the trip. So, and in that case, I don't know that they share very much with you at that point. They also told me I was able to call and get our guides' names a few weeks before. I can get that for any of my clients. As I get to know the products better and get to know the guides better, that may or may not mean anything to me. In this case, it didn't mean anything to me yet, but now I know those guides as well. So if I call for another client and, you know, say, oh, you're going to get Troy and Peyton or Troy or Peyton, then I know those two guides really well. So
that's awesome.
And if you happen to have stumbled upon this podcast and you've already kicked your little fledglings out of the nest or have no interest in traveling with kids, Adventures by Disney does have adults only departures. Yep. And or national parks, do they have that as well?
I said yes. I thought they had adult only for all of their trips. Not very many.
And they're usually off season. Yeah. They sell out fast. Mm. So.
They may not bother for the national parks, actually. I would need to go look that up. But many of their trips they do. And then I would say also, you can definitely have an adults only trip on a trip with kids. I just had clients go to Alaska. They're 2 adults, no kids. There were kids on that trip. And they were like, they told me, we barely noticed there were kids on the trip because they are well-traveled kids and they tend to sort of pod up and become friends and they're not, they're not intrusive on your trip at all. So, the junior adventures night too, the guides are really good about letting the kids sort of decide the way that goes. And so Athena proposed some improv games for our theater classes and everybody was down with that. And so they played games and, they did watch some movies. We did watch movies on this trip. I'm not sure I'm supposed to share, but I think one of them is super obvious, which is Cars. And the way they time it, you actually are going through Monument Valley about the same time that you're going through Ornament Valley on the movie. So it was really well done. Because I actually asked the guide, I was like, why haven't we watched Cars yet? Because I figured we were going to watch it going out of Williams. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, the trip's not over yet. I was like, okay, well, sorry. Did I just ruin something? He's like, totally. Sorry. So, but he did by then know that I was a travel agent. I tried not to out myself, but because I had flight issues at the beginning, I outed myself really fast. And you know, he said, well, since you're in the business, I'm going to tell you, but normally I wouldn't tell a guest this. And so they do pull that one out. And then the other movie we watched, I was totally not expected. And I hadn't seen it in a long time. And I won't say what it was, but yeah, I cried. So yeah, it was, and it has nothing to do with Arizona.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks?
Was it? It was not Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Thelma and Louise? No.
I think that's the London trip.
That's not, Thelma and Louise is not in the Disney repertoire yet. So,
Elizabeth, you mentioned the Junior Adventures Night, and I know that from other Adventures by Disney trips that there are specific things and ways that Disney goes above and beyond to try and make the destinations come to life for kids. Is, you know, like the pasta making and, mm-hmm. and, you know, all the different things they do around the world. Were there just movies? Were there, what else did Athena do on her?
In this case, it was a play night. A lot of the activities are kid focused anyway. So I don't think they do anything extra. Okay. Like when we were in Costa Rica, we made cocktails. What's the rum with the muddle, you muddle mint. What the heck is it called?
Mojitos.
That's mojitos.
Oh my gosh. Mojitos. So I just totally failed. Okay. So we made mojitos and they had kid friendly mojitos at the same thing. So they made sure that the kids had something to make that was non-alcoholic. It was more like a fruit punch, but they got to mix things and muddle things and all that. So, on this trip, they're really like the kids night, the Junior Adventures night, they had pizza and they played games. And there's a movie to watch as well. So, but it's only a few hours. And I will also say, just to express the friendships that form, you know, Athena and I sort of hung together and, we were sort of off to ourselves for a good part of the trip, but everybody was very friendly with us. And, you know, I'm extremely introverted and Athena also is. And, when Junior Adventures Night came up, I had 3 invitations to have dinner with other adults because they knew I was by myself on this trip. And there was another gentleman whose wife was on the first half of the trip, but had to leave for work training unexpectedly. So they booked the trip a long, long time ago. And then she got this new job and she had mandatory training that week. So she left. Then he also had 3 invitations to join families at dinner. So even though I would have been completely fine eating by myself, the other adults on the trip wanted to make sure that, you know, we were not left out. So great, great people on these trips. I always make friends on these trips. And it's just a week, but, yeah, a great experience. Definitely. When you look at the price, you're like, oh no. But once you're there, you see where every dollar is spent. It is so, so worthwhile. Such a great way to travel.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get what you pay for. So.
Yes. Every single time.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
That is our show for this week, and thank you for hanging out with us. We would like for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page at outlandertravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave us a review in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd really love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, Laura, and myself, Lindsay, thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time. Gotta fly!